Welcome to Dolphin Radio, podcast of Miami Dolphin fans. And now for your host, Brad Michaels.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Dolphin Radio. Brad Michaels here with you. We want to go ahead and start off. There's been a lot of stuff that's on this week. We started the league year on Monday. Free agent signings started to become official yesterday. The Dolphins have actually been very quiet, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. I want to start out with the first big signing that affected the Dolphins to some degree. We're going to say goodbye to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has now signed a one-year, $10 million deal with the Redskins. Sorry, I'm going to say Redskins. Washington football team could be worth $12 million. It's worth noting that my personal opinion is that we got two of the best years that Fitzpatrick has ever had with us down in Miami. We didn't have, you know, everybody says that it's either Fitz magic or it's Fitz tragic. We didn't really have any of those Fitz tragic times. If you want to go back to the 2019 season, you could say that we might have had some Fitz tragic events, but that was because the team as a whole just wasn't very good at that time, because of this rebuild that Brian Flores and Chris Greer are in the middle of. Now, you go into the 2021 season, and by all means, he was probably our best quarterback, even though it was understandable. You put a draft pick, number 5, into Tua Tagovailoa. You want to see what Tua's got. But to his credit, Fitzpatrick, when he got benched, he was ready to come in off the bench, play the reliever role. And, well, I mean, the miracle in Las Vegas, I don't think nobody's ever seen a play like that in the history of the National Football League. I don't think we ever will again. I mean, he's being taken down by his face mask. He's being tugged to the ground and pulled around in a 180 and still manages to just get a glimpse of a receiver and throws the ball up in the air. And, well, we all know what happened after that. So that said, like I said before, I really think that Miami got out of this veteran quarterback who's been – the Redskins are now, what, his 10th team, 9th team? We got two of the best years that Fitzpatrick has ever had, and we got him with us in a Miami uniform. So let's move on, though. I want to talk about Kyle Van Noy. This one irritated me because what I heard was that the Dolphins wanted to keep Van Noy, but they wanted him to be a team player. They wanted him to be the guy that was going to say, you know what? I want to be here. I'm buying into what Coach Flo is doing here. I'm going to be that guy that's going to go ahead and restructure. I mean, you're talking about he came from the Patriots. The Patriot way was always, we're going to do what's good for the team. We're going to restructure if necessary. Sure, I'll take a pay cut. Supposedly, Van Noy and his agent were not interested in taking a pay cut to stay with the Dolphins. And whether the Dolphins said, well, look, we're going to try to trade you, we're going to try to move you, whatever the case might be, him and his agent, somebody decided that we're going to go out, we're going to tell the press that they're going to release me. And that puts a monkey wrench into the trade process. Because seriously, why would any team want to come and talk to you about a trade if chances are you're going to release the player anyway? So needless to say, the Dolphins, they tried to shop him. Obviously, there's no takers or nobody serious. So what did they do? Of course, they went ahead. They cut him. The Patriots, immediately upon free agency period, went ahead and got a deal with them. And he will go back now to the Patriots on a one-year deal, I believe. But we don't know exactly what those terms are completely. We know it's a one-year deal. But it freed up, the one good thing I think, it freed up about $9 million in cap space for the Dolphins. So all in all, not really a bad parting. Obviously, they wanted to try to keep him. It just wasn't anything that was going to be put together. So we also want to move on now and talk about the signings that we have made. The Dolphins have signed cornerback Justin Colvin. He previously played for the Lions. The Lions let him go. He will sign a contract with Miami worth $2.75 million. That was after being released by the Lions. He will join quarterback Jacoby Brissett, running back Malcolm Brown, punter Michael Pilardi, and tight end Seathan Carter as new additions in Miami. Colvin does bring, he had 84 tackles, he had an interception, 3 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery in 27 games for Detroit over the last two seasons. So he may be a good addition. The one thing that I'm going to say in regards to any additions that the Miami Dolphins are making right now, Coach Flores and General Manager Chris Greer, they have shown that they're able to take guys that maybe not be the flashiest names, but they're guys that they know they can plug into their system and they're going to work. So what I'm not going to question what they're doing. If you've noticed, the Dolphins have been very quiet in free agency. There's none of those high visibility free agent signings. There's none of those flash in the pans like we saw in previous regimes, going all the way back to Randy Mueller coming in with Jeff Ireland, even Dennis Hickey. You know, it was always, well, let's go ahead and let's get the big name. We're going to get the Ndamukong Suh. We're going to get the Mike Wallace guy. We're going to get the most high-priced free agent that we can, because that's all we need in order to get ourselves to the Super Bowl. And we see how well that worked out for us. That's never worked out. It's never been a good thing. And I like the fact that this regime is not playing that game. They're patient. They will sit here and watch other teams gobble up cap space, where now the free agents that are ending up becoming or will become free agents because of cap casualties, the Dolphins might be able to actually have the money necessary to go get guys like that that could be impact players. Matt Hawk will now sign with the Buffalo Bills as we bring in Michael Pilardi to be the punter. So that just brings up an interesting thing. And in my opinion, is that we always seem to lose players to the Patriots, to the Bills, sometimes the Jets, but not so much because nobody, face it, nobody wants to play in New York. But we also brought in Jacoby Brissett. That's an interesting signing right there. Brissett comes in on a one-year deal. He will most likely at this point be the odds-on favorite to be Tua's backup. I don't think Brissett's going to start in Miami. I don't think he's going to even be in a role like Fitzpatrick was. I think Brissett is absolutely second string. He's going to be the backup. If something happens to Tua and he goes down with an injury, that's when we'll see Brissett. If Tua gets in trouble, he's not going to have Brissett coming in there in relief to pull a game out for him. That's my opinion. Now, I want to move on also. We signed ex-Patriot Adam Butler. We did need some defensive line help. I'm not exactly sure that we needed help necessarily at defensive tackle, which is what Butler brings to the table, but I would have preferred to get an edge rusher. But who knows? Maybe he frees up a little bit of that interior room and we're able to bust out one of our linebackers and have our linebackers play a little more edge. But we know that Coach Flo has been very interested in bringing in a lot of former Patriot players. He's familiar with them. It's his system. It's the same type of system that he ran in New England. These are guys he knows. He can plug them in. They're going to be ready to go right away. So we know they were interested in signing Butler. They've got him. They've wrapped him up. And we're going to see how that works out. It should be pretty good. And, of course, Coleman was a previous Patriots defender as well. Biggest signing that hit the news waves, I think, for us at this point has been we lose Ted Karras. He signed a one-year deal to go to the Patriots. But the Dolphins have replaced him with former Raven Matt Sakura. Now, Sakura was he was out. He's been the starting center in Baltimore since 2018. He was benched late in 2020 following a string of bad snaps. He ended up also being injured. And he tore the ACL, MCL, the PCL, and he was back for week one in 2020, just wasn't really used. So we've got him now. That could end up being pretty good. There's no details. We do know it's 1 year, but we don't know details actually on the numbers. And what I want to do at this point, though, is we're going to move on and we want to talk about quarterback. I'm going to go back to the quarterback position because there's been a lot of speculation, and that speculation is still out there about what are the Texans going to do with Deshaun Watson. He has demanded a trade. There's been a lot of talk that Miami could be a landing spot. I don't think that that's a good idea. But TMZ is now reporting. I mean, I saw this yesterday. They were talking about six different women coming out and talking about sexual assault by Deshaun Watson. Now TMZ is reporting that it's up to 9 different women. That should end everything as far as Deshaun Watson being a Dolphin. Past regimes may have brought him on board. We know that Jimmy Johnson was a guy that would take a flyer on somebody. I mean, all you got to do is think back to Cecil Collins. We've had other coaches. I think Nick Saban would have taken a flyer on some guys. Obviously, Adam Gase did it occasionally. But for the most part, this regime's not going to put up with that. They're not going to have troublemakers on this team. They're looking for guys that are serious about football and aren't going to get themselves into a lot of off-field problems. Right now, what I'm seeing is Deshaun Watson, depending on where these allegations go, Deshaun Watson might be lucky if he's still in the league in 2021, much less with any team or with the Dolphins. So let's put the Deshaun Watson to Miami rumors. Let's put that to rest. I don't think that that's actually going to happen. So we're going to move on now to Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a guy that, along with Robinson from the Bears, has been talked about as the receiver that the Miami Dolphins would target in free agency. Well, as we know, the Dolphins have been very, very quiet on the free agency front, but so has any talk about either Robinson or Smith-Schuster. Why is that? Is the market for receivers just not there because receivers are pretty deep position in the draft? Or are these guys, and I was reading another article this morning and they were talking about Smith-Schuster is pretty much a number two. He's been the number two in Pittsburgh. So when you're the number two guy and you're on free agency and you're starting, you and your agent are starting to talk about number one guy type of money, I don't think Miami throws that money at you. I don't think anybody else throws it at you because I think they're looking to fill up a number two spot. Miami already has that basically with Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker could technically be a number one guy. He's got the speed. He's got the talent. He doesn't have the ability to stay on the field consistently. We need a guy that's going to be, first of all, is young, can stay on the field, can provide that spark and provide that extra weapon that Tua needs so that he feels more confident. Tua's the type of guy that if he knows he's not going to see separation from his receiver, he's not going to throw into a tight spot. He's not going to try to thread the needle because he's not going to turn the ball over. That's one good thing about Tua that we're all going to enjoy in years to come is that Tua's going to manage the game the way that he wants to manage it. And if his receivers can't get separation, they'll be separated from Miami because he's not going to target them and there's no point in keeping them. Devontae Parker has shown that he likes being a target of Tua, but to me, he's a number two receiver because he can't stay on the field. Same for Preston Williams. Got all of the talent in the world, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field for the 2 years that he's been in Miami. So he's not a number one guy. He's not even your number three guy at this point. Although he comes back healthy, he'll make the team. But I think with the lack of any interest so far that we're seeing in either Robinson from the Bears or Smith-Schuster from Pittsburgh, I think that brings us to the draft. Been a lot of talk about whether Miami would move out of the number three spot. Well, anything is possible. You can always move down because moving down, obviously, you're going to pick up additional picks. Miami's already very, very pick rich in this draft, if you will. I think they stay at number three. The question is it Ja'Marr Chase or is it Devonta Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama? Despite what he has said about Tua and wanting to play with him, it doesn't really matter. Coach Flores is going to do what Coach Flores wants to do. So if it's Ja'Marr Chase that fits into the system that Flores has decided on, then it will be Ja'Marr Chase at number three. Or if it's going to be that familiarity and the Heisman winner, it's going to be Devonta Smith. But I think if we stay at number three, it's going to be a receiver. And I think that's probably one of the reasons we're not seeing a whole lot of interest, at least from the Dolphins side, in Juju Smith-Schuster or Robinson from the Bears. So the other questions that come up, though, is, you know, a lot of talk has been about Penei Sewell. He's probably, by all means, the best offensive lineman that is in this draft. He has been mentioned as a playmaker. He's the difference maker on that offensive line. But the Dolphins have just picked up some offensive linemen in free agency. So we have a lot of youngsters on the line that are going to be going into their second year. We have some veteran leadership there, especially now with Matt Sakura on board. And if he can stay healthy, we just need to plug in a couple of guys that can be adequate backups. And I think with another year, this offensive line can gel. Another year older, a little more experienced, I think they're going to be fine. The biggest thing is that we need the weapons around Tua. So I really think we come right back to that receiver, and I think that's what we're talking about. With the 18th pick, I think if we're lucky, I think we're going to have our choice of two running backs. I've said all along that I think at the 18th pick, we need to try to shore up the running game. We can't get it done with the guys that we have currently. It's just not going to happen. And I think you need a guy like either Najee Harris from Alabama, or my pick, if he's still available, is going to be Travis Etienne. Travis Etienne is the type of runner that he's a game changer. Now, so is Najee Harris. I'm not going to knock him. Both of these players can be the running back for several years in Miami. We all know that the running back position, the wear and tear on your body, that's a 4 to 5 year period of production out of a running back. So I don't want to go out in the free agency. I wasn't interested in Connor. I was interested in Aaron Jones from the Packers, but of course he decided he wanted to sign. I think either Najee Harris or Travis Etienne will be there at number 18. So I think that's where we're at this point. We will be back for another episode of Dolphin Radio. When more news breaks and we have a little bit more, we're planning on having a weekly episode, and I think it's probably going to come out on Thursdays, Wednesday or Thursday, but I'm kind of leaning towards Thursdays at this point. But we will be back. We'll have a lot more for you. I'm Brad Michaels. Thanks for joining us here at Dolphin Radio, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for watching or listening. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. And for more great content, check us out on the web at www.dolphinradio.com.